teacher when I was in this seminary. He has cancer in his mouth. The doctor is cautiously optimistic. They're still in the preliminary stage of testing. The hope is that it doesn't go.
St. Francis Solano. He was from Spain, and the Holy Bishop, St. Terribius, asked, of Lima, Peru, begged Father Solano, a famous preacher in Spain, he prayed that Father Solano would come and preach in his diocese, gigantic diocese, it was like a country, because the bishop couldn't do all that. So he did. Now, in our country, there was a man whose name was Father Solanus Casey. He was born in Wisconsin, one of 16 children. And he went to the minor seminary, a high school seminary in Milwaukee, and he couldn't do it academically. So he had to leave, and he joined the Franciscans. Now there's different kinds of Franciscans. The ones that I wanted to enter at the time, it was better that I became a Norbertine, but I wanted to enter, I was guided to look into the Capuchins. I was told those are the best of the Franciscans, okay? So he was a Capuchin, but he had a hard time academically. And so he was ordained a priest, but what they call a priest simplex. That means he could say Mass, but he couldn't hear confessions. He could not preach. He couldn't give homilies, okay? That's a priest simplex. So he was a priest, you know, for Mass, but otherwise he was like a brother. He was a doorkeeper, I think for like 40 years, in various parts like Detroit and Wisconsin, New York, and I don't know, maybe hundreds of miracles happened through him. All kinds of miracles, all kinds of incurable diseases, and the Chrysler company having a miracle and all kinds of stuff. A guy who fell down from a 35-foot wall was not expected to live. Father Solanas was in the hospital. He wasn't doing so well. He went to visit that man. Father Solanas died, but that man lived for another 57 years. Okay, so tons of miracles. So there was recently a miracle, a woman with an incurable skin disease. She had never heard of Father Solanas Casey, but someone told her about him when she was visiting, I guess, his tomb in Detroit. And so she prayed, and she saw the miracle happen. She saw her leg being healed, the bad skin coming off of it, and new skin appearing. It was just amazing. Okay, so that was the miracle for his beatification. It will be celebrated in Detroit this Saturday. All right, that's Father Solanas Casey. All right, our country has its good and bad, and this is one of the good things. Right. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. Okay, so there's no class. I won't be here. Normally I'm here on Thursday and Friday. My schedule is different. I'm going to be here at the parish today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday I'll visit the sick instead of the following Thursday, Friday. Okay? So I'm here for 6 days. No class next week. And then we have two more classes, weeks 12 and 13, where we get more information. And then we'll have the review, and then the first semester oral exam. Okay. Now, what have we done so far? We got the definition of mercy. We got the reasons why we have this definition from scripture and tradition. And then we looked at each of the parts of the definition to better understand it. Our class last week, we finished up looking at the definition of mercy, the last part. These last 3 weeks of new information, I'm calling miscellaneous. Okay, other things about mercy. Okay, so today we have the first of three of those classes. Mercy is properly said of God. Secondarily said of us. Okay, that's where we're at. Last week's adult class, the class after this one, we kind of touched it here, but more so in the adult class. Big question. Very smart question. Which is a greater work of mercy? Being delivered from sin, it's like you're being pulled out of the quicksand, or being preserved from sin. You never go into the quicksand. Which is a greater work of mercy? They're both works of mercy, right? They both keep you from hell and get you to heaven. Before I give you the answer, it's not that simple. Okay, we want to say preservation from sin, right? Because the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was preserved from all sin. She has the highest place in heaven. Now, all holy angels were preserved from sin. They weren't delivered from sin. all holy angels have never sinned. Okay? They're preserved from all sin. And yet, it's believed by some that Saint Francis is higher than many of those angels. Saint Francis, who was delivered from sin, having a higher place in heaven than some angels, all of whom were preserved from sin. Okay? So here's showing that the problem is kind of tough to answer. Plus, remember the story in Luke's gospel, the woman who was a sinner, and the Pharisee saw her kneeling before Jesus and weeping, crying all these tears all over his feet, washing his feet, and then she used her hair to dry his feet, and her hair was probably really messy, all right? She looked pretty bad. Not a good hair day. And Jesus said, who do you think will love more? The one who was forgiven some sins or one who was forgiven many sins? And the Pharisee said, the one will love more who was forgiven more. Okay. So, with this in mind, which is greater, a greater work of mercy, to deliver from sin or to be delivered from sin or to be preserved from sin? And give me your reason why you think it's this answer. Okay, Joseph.
Okay, I think it's delivering someone from misery because you actually bend down to pick them up out of it. Where in preserving, you just avoid them from.
Okay, listen. Jesus died on the cross not just for all those who are going to be delivered from sin, but he died equally for the Blessed Virgin Mary. All right? He saved her every bit as he saved those who were delivered. Okay? There's two ways of being saved. Okay? Two ways of being saved, and that's being delivered from sin, being preserved from sin. In either case, God became man and suffered and died on the cross for both kinds of people being saved, both those delivered and those preserved. Okay? Which is a greater work of mercy? Delivering from sin or preserving from sin? Peter.
I think it's preserving because you keep them from ever sinning at all so they don't sin, and that's a greater work of mercy so that they don't sin at all.
That's what preserving means, right? You're on the right track here. Keep going with this.
I think it's delivering because even though those people sinned, you're forgiving that person, even though like they might have committed like a monstrous like sin, And so, like, whether with preserving, it's just like you say, like, yeah, it's great, but it's greater because you're forgiving, even because they had already, like, saved their soul.
There's more evil to forgive with deliverance. Okay? Yes?
I think it's also a harder work too, because you're trying to get someone out of something that they're used to.
It's messy. It's more messy getting someone out of the quicksand, huh?
You're going to have to put more effort into helping them first get back or in the right track and more mm-hmm.
This is smart. I'm not going to disagree with that. Okay, any other thoughts?
Another reason why I think preserving is better is because in delivering, the person...
Wait. I thought you were talking about being preserved was greater.
Yes, but...
Now you're saying deliverance.
No. Another reason why I think preserving is better...
Okay, because you said deliverance, I thought.
Is because deliverance, the person has sinned, but if you had done preservance, that person wouldn't have sinned.
Say that again?
Another reason why preservance is better than deliverance is because if in deliverance that person has sinned and you forgive them, but in preservance that person would have never sinned.
Well, that's already a given. We're asking which is the greater work of mercy and why. Okay. Okay, this is it. Joseph.
They're both equal.
Okay. Teresa, do you have any thoughts on this?
I would say that deliverance is better because even if, like, the person is preserved from sin, like, they still don't have to, like Mary had to still say yes to God. She didn't, like...
It's tough. This is a tough one. Yeah, I asked a few priests at the Abbey, and this was a tough one to answer.
Well, Aloma? With being preserved, then it's almost like you were never had sin, so it's like, I guess you could say you never had a free will.
Mary said yes.
But
be it done to me according to your will.
Well, like with deliverance, though, you have a chance of choosing to get out of your evil, so that means to have a greater love for God.
Yeah, being preserved, you choose to stay on that path. Either way, it involves free choice. Okay, here's my answer for now. Would you rather be pulled out of the quicksand, or would you rather have never gone in it? Would you rather have been saved when you were in the process of being raped, or would you rather have never, would you rather never be raped? Would you rather be in a terrifying position where you're in the process of being robbed, and then after 40 minutes or so, the police come and save the day and you get everything back? Or would you rather have never been robbed in the first place? Would you rather have been badly beaten up by thugs where you're left half dead, but then people come to your rescue so you don't die? Or would you rather have never been beaten up and never getting any broken bones or go to the hospital. Just be totally preserved of that. Would you the bottom line is this, would you rather be saved from some misery, or would you rather be saved from all misery? That's the question. Would you rather be saved from some misery or all misery?
All misery.
You can just give your opinion. I'm not going to disagree or agree with it.
Only some, because it goes back to we have misery so that there can be mercy. And as mercy is God's grace.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be another thing. Would you rather have just been in paradise with no suffering and death, as was God's plan, or would you rather have life like it is now, where there is suffering and death, there is cancer, people do get in severe, really bad accidents, and they get paralyzed, and just all kinds of terrible things go wrong. Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
Like life now, because if we had been in paradise, we would have had no need of God's mercy, and we would never.
No, you would still. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay. What else? Anybody else? John Paul.
To have been preserved from sin in the first place, because if Adam and Eve had been screwed up, we all would have been a lot better off.
Okay, this is your opinion, okay? I'm not going to dispute your opinion. You can say one or the other. I'm just, whatever you want to say. Joseph.
I would say mercy because...
No. There's two kinds of mercy. There's being delivered or being preserved.
I would say delivered.
Okay.
Because...
You would rather have some misery than no misery. Okay, anybody else?
Another reason why I would do preservance is I would much rather do paradise than today's world.
Okay, so no one wants to be like the Blessed Virgin Mary, I take it. Okay. I don't think that's such a bad idea myself. I'd rather have it like her, being preserved of all sin. I'd rather have no misery than some, personally. Now, going back to that sinful woman, she loved more than the Pharisee who was preserved from the sins that she was delivered from. In some cases, God allows for people to go through much misery so that they can grow in humility, where otherwise they would be proud, or that they would grow in gratitude, where otherwise they wouldn't be grateful for what they have. Okay. Our Lady was truly grateful at a young age. She was well aware of God's mercy decades before some of us even knew about God's mercy. Okay, she was very thankful for the mercy God gave her, all right, being preserved. More grateful than others who were delivered from sin. Okay. All right, we'll leave it at that. Today's class. We want to take a look at the word proper. What does it mean? The opposite of proper is that which is common, public, general, shared by all or by many. Okay? That would be the opposite of proper. The etymology, it comes from the Latin word proprius. It means one's own. It belongs to that person. It's peculiar, personal to that person. Okay? It's distinctive. Okay, that might not help much, but these examples may help some more. What's proper to God? Well, he's three persons in one. There's no one else like that. That's proper to God. Only he is like that. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one. That's proper to God. It's not proper to anybody else. Okay. Angels are different than any other creatures. What's common is that we're all creatures. You know, plants, animals, non-living things, they're all created. But what's distinctive about angels, they are pure spirits. They're spiritual, okay, but there's other spiritual beings. What's different than them is that they're created spiritual beings. Okay, pure spirits. We're embodied spirits, you could say that. What's more distinctive? You could say that that's distinctive about man. According to St. John Paul II, we're embodied spirits. That's a more theological answer. A more philosophical answer is, what's distinctive of man is that we're rational. Angels are not rational. They don't go step by step, just slowly, a little bit at a time, gradually getting more and more knowledge. That's us. Angels know immediately, easily, completely. Boom! They just know. It's intuition. Okay, we have a little bit of that. Maybe we get more and more of that as we get older. Okay? But what's distinctive about us is that we're rational. Creatures lower than us don't have reason at all. Okay? That's peculiar. That's distinctive of man. That's proper to man. Okay? What's proper to the Catholic Church? There are Christians that have God's word, not all of it, but they have some. There are Christians that have some sacraments. It might just be one, baptism, or all seven, the Orthodox. What's distinctive about the Catholic Church? What's proper to the Catholic Church? What's peculiar? We have the papacy. Okay? No other Christians have that. That's distinctive of the Catholic Church. That's what stands out. That's proper to the Catholic Church. Okay, man's vocation. Everybody is called to be a saint. The universal call to holiness. That's what we all have in common. It's general. Okay? Now, some are called to be married. Some are called to be religious. Some are called to be priests. Okay? Those are particular vocations. But each one of us is a person, unique, unrepeatable. So each one of us has a personal vocation. That was my master's paper. I know all about this. Okay, so what's proper to you, your calling, your vocation? It's your personal vocation. This is what you have that nobody else has. What we all have in common is that we're all called to holiness. But what's proper to each person's calling is their personal vocation. Right? Religious orders, they're all the same in that they have the vows of poverty, celibacy, obedience. more or less living common life, living in a community, living together, praying, working. Some pray more, some pray less. Some work more outside, some work more inside the community. What's peculiar, what's distinctive of each one? Okay, so the Carmelites are known more for mysticism. The Jesuits traditionally, probably not now, okay, they're way off the track. It was to support the Pope, to be the to communicate the Pope's message to the people. Okay. What's distinctive about Norbertines? It was to renew the priesthood by way of joining it to religious life. Priesthood plus religious life. Okay, both of those together. Right. The prayer life of the monk and the activity of the diocesan priest. Franciscans, it's their love of poverty, to live poor and to serve the poor. The Dominicans, it's a love of preaching and teaching. Okay. I love the Franciscan spirit, the Dominican spirit, the Norbertine spirit. I love them all. Okay, well, actually all of them. I love all those different orders I mentioned. Okay, so do you have a, hopefully you have a basic idea of what the word proper means. Okay, you got to understand that before you get to step number two. Mercy, anything about Roman numeral number one? Okay. Roman numeral number two. Mercy is proper to God. Diego, are you paying attention?
Yes.
Get up. This is not bedtime, okay?
Sorry.
Thank you. That was being a gentleman. Good. Okay. Who said mercy is proper to God? Who's the authority? Well, we got two big guns here. We got St. Jerome in his 21st letter, paragraph 40. I'll quote it to you. Absolute mercy is an attribute of God alone. Absolute mercy is an attribute of God alone. That's what he said. Okay? And then the bigger gun, St. Thomas Aquinas, we've seen this over and over, especially talking about the definition in detail. Okay, his Summa Theologia, part 2, question 30, articles 2 and 4. And he's getting this partly from Psalm 145, verse 9, and the collect, the opening prayer at Mass, for the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time. That was October 1st for us this year. Okay, so those are two sources saying that mercy is properly said of God, not us. Okay, so there's two key sources. Why? Why do we say it's proper to God? Well, we got these two sources here. St. Thomas Aquinas says that mercy has to do with standing above. You're in a higher position. You have, that person doesn't have. You're the king, that's the pauper. You're the priest, that's the penitent. Okay? This is the governor, and you're the undocumented immigrant, okay? You're not legal. Okay. Standing in a higher position. It's proper to mercy to stand in a higher position. Now, God stands above all. Okay, there's people in higher places here, but then there's others in higher places and others. Well, God is on the very top. The Most High. The Most High God. So it's proper to God to be merciful. He would be going down the lowest and raising people up the highest. Okay? The greatest motion downward is upwards. That's a good argument. This is my argument. I totally am for this first one, no doubt. And mine includes that. Mercy is said of one who is charitable. Well, God has the most charity. Mercy is said of someone who's compassionate. God has the most compassion. Mercy is said of someone stooping down to one in misery. God does that more than anybody, better than anybody, and he goes from the highest to the lowest. Okay, and being in the highest position, he can lift people up to the highest position. The greatest motion upwards. So there, those are two reasons, okay? But this includes this. Right. All right, now the story of God's mercy. The greatest story there is. There is no story greater. God the Father so loved the world, and speaking of the world as something good, okay, so loved mankind that he sent his son. But before that, he prepared a people. He prepared the Jews for his son, the Messiah. A long, slow, gradual preparation. Okay. He sent prophets. And then finally he sent his son. So there's this motion downwards. And he does this out of charity, out of compassion. You see that right away in, during the time of Moses, the compassion. Okay? God so, John chapter 3, verse 15. God so loved the world, he sent his only son so that through him the world might... Another translation is may be saved. May be saved. What do you think of that? Did God save us? Yes or no? This sounds like, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We're not quite sure. That's right. He offered us everything we need to be saved. He merited the grace. He opened the gates of heaven. He did 100%. He did his part. But it's not guaranteed. Just because one day we say, I'm a Jesus freak. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm baptized. One day isn't going to be enough. You have to cooperate every day. You have to say yes all the time. So, there you go. So that's the Father's part in this story, in a nutshell. But there's obviously a lot more than that. And then you have the Son, who came down to earth, took on flesh, that's the incarnation. And then the work of redemption, it wasn't just a day, Good Friday. It wasn't just 3 years. We've already done this. Okay? His work of redemption was all 33 years on earth. From the moment he was able to think and choose and feel, okay, that's when he took on the sins of the world. He experience the sorrow for our sins. Okay. What was going on for 33 years was finally manifested on Good Friday externally in a way you could see. But that was all going on inside of him for 33 years. And that's the greater suffering. As horrible as the physical suffering was, the interior suffering was far worse. But Jesus was experiencing that as a baby. Okay. Okay, so that's the work of redemption, the hidden work and the public, visible, external work. Okay, and the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work of salvation, to give life to the church, the principle. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church, huh? Gives life to the church. The spirit of life. Okay. That enlightens us, inspires us. There's a lot more, but we got to move on. Okay, Roman numeral number 3. Okay, so mercy is properly said of God, but it's also said of mankind, each one of us. It's said of the church, the Blessed Virgin Mary, each person. How? How is it said of man? We are given the grace to participate, to share in God's work of mercy, to share in this divine activity. Okay? It's a privilege. It's also a pain to participate in the greatest work there is, the work of salvation, the work of redemption, the work of saving souls, the work of pulling people out of heading towards hell and helping them to get to heaven. It means doing the works of mercy. Remember, I say there's 3 different works of mercy. The corporal works, the psychological works, and the spiritual works of mercy. Okay. Sometimes we think we're doing a work of mercy, but it's more justice. We're going to talk about that in week 13. I got a good one. When we talk about justice and mercy. Okay, we'll hold on to that. Okay, but sometimes it's more justice than it really is mercy. Okay. So how do we do it? By participation. Who shares in this work? The church as a whole. The church has been entrusted with the work of mercy. The work that God the Father did and Jesus Christ did while he was on earth. Now that's up to us to continue that work, to extend his work, to carry out that work in space and time. Renew that work. The church does that. Now, Mary personifies the church. Puts a face on the church. She participated the most of all human persons Now remember, Jesus is not a human person, he's a divine person. So we're not talking about him, we're talking about human persons. Of all human persons, Mary participated the most in the work of mercy. By saying yes to God, being the mother of God, by sharing in his Jesus' suffering during his life, when Jesus was on the cross and she was right there looking, hearing Jesus, you know, just right there, so close. Okay, we can see a movie on it, but it's not the same as being there in real life. Okay, and I have something to back that up, I think. Yeah, this is in Divus in Misericordia, chapter 5, paragraph 9. It says that she had the greatest participation in the work of mercy. Okay, that's Pope St. John Paul II saying that, a saint, a pope, in his encyclical on mercy. This was prefigured in the Old Testament. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "She will crush your head," the head of the serpent. This was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. There are four women that crushed the head of the enemy. Okay? Four women in the Old Testament. Jael. Oh, yeah, that, yeah, okay. She put a tent peg. She got a hammer and a peg, and while the enemy was sleeping, sound asleep, she took that hammer and drove the tent peg right through his skull, his brain. Okay? She crushed the head of the enemy. That's a foreshadowing of Mary. And then you have the woman with a millstone. Okay, a hand stone. This may be about so big. And from the second story of her house, she dropped that on the enemy coming by. It landed right on his head and crushed his head. Okay, that's a foreshadowing of Mary. And then you have Judith. She walks right into the enemy camp and mesmerizes the enemy soldiers and sleeps with the enemy, and while he's sound asleep drunk, she gets his sword and cuts off his head, a scimitar, huh? And just cuts off his head, puts it in her lunch bag, and walks back to the Jewish camp and says, "Look what I got. Anybody want some lunch?" Okay? It's not a head of lettuce. Okay, so she crushed the head of the enemy. And then there's Queen Esther. The enemy wanted to hang one of the top Jews and destroy all the Jews. And she intervened. She went to the king and got him to stop that. And the king said, "Well, who wanted to kill all these Jews?" And then she pointed to Haman. "That's the man right over there." And so he was killed with the same device he was going to use for the leading Jew. Okay? So she crushed the head of the enemy. These are four heroes, four women in the Old Testament that crushed the head of the enemy as a foreshadowing of Mary. Okay, more than anybody else, she participates in Jesus' work of crushing the head of the enemy. Okay, that's also the work of the church. The church does that. Each one of us is called to do that, but she did that more than anybody else. And then in history, look what she's done. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, etc. How she's intervened in history, and through her intervention, thousands, millions, tens of millions have become Catholic, have been healed miraculously, spiritually, psychologically, physically. Okay, so more than anybody, she participates in the work of mercy. Just look at history. I mean, it's a historical fact. There's no other person in history that's done what she's done, besides Jesus. Okay. And then each one of us is called to participate in this work of mercy in a unique, unrepeatable way. Our unique, irrepeatable call to holiness. Okay? Alright. Now. Yes, God is the one more than anybody. It's proper to say God is the one who is merciful. What's the comparison between His mercy and our mercy? God is infinite. His mercy is like an infinite ocean. Okay? An infinite ocean of mercy. Just picture an ocean just going and going, and there's just no end to it. That's His mercy. Each person's mercy, if they have it, if they participate in it, is more or less a drop. It might be a big drop, it might be a little drop. It's something finite, really small in comparison to His. Okay. That's the comparison between God's mercy and each of our participation in that mercy. Any questions about week 11?
Why did she kill all those heads?
It was to foreshadow what Mary was going to do. Okay? The Old Testament foreshadows the New. It prepares you for the New. It's a prefiguration. It's something imperfect that leads to, that helps prepare you for what is perfect.
So it's like someone
can work
through it?
No. Okay, anything else? Okay, I'm going to take a roll here. You're all here. Paloma, did you do the homework? And Marcelino.
Yes, Father.
John Paul.
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph.
Yes, Father Francis.
Peter.
Yes, Father Francis.
Madeline. Joshua. Joshua. Okay, no. Teresa.
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph.
Yes, Father Francis.
Marianne.
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire.
Yes, Father Francis.
Christopher.
Yes, Father Francis.
Adriel, Noah,
yes,
Josie,
yes,
Diego,
yes,
Liliana, is that a yes?
Yes.
Nicholas,
last week's, but not this week's.
Andrew,
yes, Father Francis.
Luke,
yes, Father Francis.
Sophia,
yes, Father Francis.
Abigail,
yes, Father Francis.
Ada,
yes, Father Francis.
Eleanor?
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire Ann?
Yes, Father Francis.
Michael?
Yes, Father Francis.
Anyone who did not get called? Raise your hand in the front row. Tell me can you tell me something you learned from last week, Josie? It could be, right? It could be done out of pride. The intention might be pride, yes. Okay.
Practice, is like saying, like my child on this team and he's the best, and then it gets more, and then like, oh, he can have a scholarship. Oh, he's gonna go to professional like that.
That might be a good thing. It might be done out of love, but it could also be done out of pride,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Like,
good. Mm-hmm. That's right. I thought of another example. I mentioned Scientology. I didn't mention Masonry. There's 44 levels of that. That's Masons on the top helping others to get higher and higher. That's not a good thing. They're lifting up, but that's just... It's not a real lifting up. It's just actually going lower and lower, being more and more anti-Catholic and closer to hell. All right. Okay, who else? Liliana. Right? No,
Sophia.
Sophia, sorry. Go ahead. And what? Okay, all right. Who else in the front row? Marianne.
I learned that Mary was preserved from original sin, and she was preserved from all of her sins, and some of her baby preserved from one of two sins, but
yeah, you could be preserved from some sins, right? But only Mary was preserved from all sin, including original sin, right? From the moment of conception. Okay, second row, raise your hand if you learned something for this class. There's Liliana, go ahead. As a Catholic? Being a Catholic means helping people get to heaven. Okay, help. And just by being a Catholic, we are called to help lift people up to heaven, right? That's who we are. Okay, who else in the second row? Second row. Madeline. Say it, look at me so I can hear what you're saying.
To lift up others is to help them get to heaven and to grow from your dream to more like Jesus, to get closer to God, to help people come into the church.
Okay, you read that to me, right? Can someone do that without reading? Someone in the second row, tell me what you learned without reading to me. Andrew.
I learned that the difference between preserving and religion is that
Yes.
Two ways of being saved. Two ways of being treated with mercy. Okay? Being preserved, being delivered. Third road, tell me what you learned from last week. Paloma.
Lifting up is helping someone spiritually get stronger. Do you help them on their goal to get to heaven? To help them become more like God and become closer to God, but also to participate fully in their direction.
Being preserved from sin. That's more God-like. It's more like God. God never was sinful, okay? He was always without sin. Being preserved is more God-like. Mary is more God-like than anybody else. Okay, who else over here? Yes, Noah.
I learned that there's two ways to lift someone out of misery. Preserved and saved or delivered. And delivered is when you take somebody out of the quicksand if they're like their sin. And preserved is when you don't let them sin. And take them out.
Yeah. You prevent them, stop them, keep them from sinning. Okay, good. Let's stand and pray. Waiting for you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for being a God of mercy and for showing us how to be merciful, being the example of mercy for us so we can extend your mercy to others. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Wondering what I learned from last week's class.
What's the question?
Do you want to hear what I learned from last week's class?
When you had your chance, right? No,
I never had my chance.
Okay. Well, next week, maybe. Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Do you mind if I take a picture of John Wall? Oh, yeah. Well,
I'll tell you why after. Because my recording may not be done. Now tell me why you're taking
this picture.
I'm
going to
survive high school.
You are?
So. Really?
He's going to go do a shower. He did a shower today at Survivor. He's going to do a shower today.
Is this a punishment for being a good, wonderful student? No.
You chose to do
it. They have one of the best robotics programs in the world. They're like number 5 in the world. So, and that's...
Is that working with robots?
Building and working with robots.
Yeah. Really?
Coding, building.
Is this the sports team? Or?
They machine all of their own parts for the robots.
3D printers. Cut them out, take a big block of metal, cut them. They can sometimes 3D print plastic parts for the robot.
Good.
We'll see. I don't know. They're going to have to give us some financial aid. That's
not happening.
Okay. Keep me informed.
Okay. No.
So you're starting to wear black, huh? I don't know, choice.
You know, when he was in his shower day, he was in the theology class.
And he was able to answer a question that no one in the class could answer.
Yeah, he did. He said, wait, that's not the only thing that, what was the